Well, they were called hotshots, and it was the highest compliment. They were the elite, almost all of them members of the Granite Mountain Hotshots from Prescott, Arizona, and they died fighting an out-of-control wildfire yesterday. That fire has now quadrupled in size, with over 200 firefighters on the scene, more on the way. Officials have evacuated all residents in the way of the fire. Kyle Dickman was a hotshot, and then he wrote about them. And we want to spend a few minutes with him today, learning more about what these men and women do. Kyle Dickman joins us from his office at Outside Magazine, where he's the associate editor. Kyle, 19 firefighters dead. This must hit very hard.
Yeah, it really is tragic. I mean, yeah. We haven't seen anything like this for a long, long time. And I think the last time we saw a major fatality like this was 1994, so I think it's really hard for the community.
Yeah, and it wasn't 19. Well, you mean the community there in Arizona, but also across the country. Just tell us, how many hotshot firefighters about are there?
Well, there's about 117 crews nationwide, and it's a 20-person crew. But, wildland firefighting is a much bigger community than just the hotshots. It's anybody who's out there, the guys on the engines, the smoke jumpers. I think anybody who's fought wildland fire really feels this tragedy.
Yeah, and what exactly do they do? Just distinguish them from a smoke jumper, let's say, or someone else.
Well, the hotshots are—they're sort of—you got to think about like the frontline troops. So they're the guys who go into the biggest blazes and fight sort of the most dangerous parts of the biggest fires in the country. And they're really the ones who are out there. And they're a national resource, so they're sent from a crew can be based in California, which is where I was based, and then they can be picked up and sent to Montana or Florida or really anywhere that they're needed.
Yeah, and just tell us a little bit about you, because as we said, you were a hotshot. You started with the Forest Service engine crew when you're an 18-year-old college student. Worked a lot of fires, had a lot of. I mean, it sounds as if we're thinking now of these deaths, but hard work. You have poison ivy all the time. You're constantly suffering from other things.
Yeah, I mean it's simultaneously the best and the worst job I've ever had in my life. It's like the guys that you're working with are your best friends. It really becomes a family. It's also incredibly difficult, and I think that's part of the reason that you get to be so close to these guys is you're out there working 18 hours a day. You're cutting line. You're sweating together. It's like you live, breathe, everything. I mean, for 8 months, and so it's a really intense experience, but it's also these guys love it. I mean, I hope that that's not forgotten. It's that these guys, these Granite Mountain Hotshots really, I would bet to a man that they really do love their jobs, and they were out there doing hopefully what they love. I mean, it's not a justification for the tragedy, but.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. A line from your article jumps out with new meaning today because you talk about swinging a heavy tool for this, 18 hours a day. You left the hotshots proud that you'd simply survived the work, but also the danger. I know you're not covering this fire, but it's believed to have been caused by a lightning strike. It was close to the town of Yarnell. We spoke of this, a small town, 650 people. So there was an emergency management team, over 200 firefighters, including the hotshots. They were apparently building a fuel break along the eastern edge of the fire. Again, you are not reporting directly on this fire, but we've heard that a wind might have turned the fire on them. Is that your guess of what happened?
Yeah, I'll just reiterate what you said. I don't know. There aren't a lot of specifics. There aren't a lot of details that are out there yet. But my understanding is that that what happened is that these guys were out. There were structures, and this is a high priority fire because there were structures nearby, and they'd sent these crews out to go protect these houses. And about 3:30 on Sunday afternoon, it looked like there was some thunderstorms developing to the northwest. And what happened is that it looked like it was moving toward the southwest, and it was pushing these winds, 40 to 50 mile an hour winds, down these canyons that then fanned this fire. And in sort of a matter of moments, it goes from something that's manageable and controllable to something that is certainly not. I think these guys just. They got caught up in a very, very bad situation. Yeah. And one question that I think will be answered in the coming days is if in fact it was a thunderstorm, why didn't we know about it? Why wasn't there then why wasn't the Weather Service, you know, giving warnings about it, that type of thing?
About lightning. Well, you also noted a detail reported in the Los Angeles Times that the Wickenburg Community Hospital near the site was told to expect injured firefighters. It's painful, but what did that say to you?
I was speaking to Rick Cowles, the superintendent of the crew that I was working with, and he said that, you know, we were talking about how it might have happened, and what he had suggested was that the superintendent of the Granite Mountain Hotshots, they were just focused on one thing, and that's getting all of those guys, his entire crew, to safety. And so they weren't on their radios talking to the other, you know, the other crew members on the line, and they were just pushing. They were trying to get out of there, trying to find a spot where they could deploy their shelters that would be safe. And what he suggested is probably the first time that they knew that something really bad had happened was with radio silence. It's when somebody called the Rocky Mountain, or I'm sorry, the Granite Mountain Hotshots on the radio, and there was no response.
Yeah, and maybe their last communication might have been, you know, that there's trouble on the way. That's Kyle Dickman of Outside Magazine, also a former member of the Tahoe Hotshots, talking to us about what we can glean about the men and women we don't know, the 19 who died in the fire in Arizona, and what we could know more to honor the work that they did. So, Kyle, we're going to ask you more about that when we come back after a break. What about the tents that they might have used? Tell us how these shelter tents work. If you're a hotshot across the country and this is affecting you, we want to hear from you at hereandnow.org. Back with more of Kyle Dickman in 1 minute, Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from GEICO, protecting drivers and their families with insurance coverage for over 75 years. More at geico.com or 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's Here and Now, and we are talking about that fire in Yarnell, Arizona today, actually overnight. 19 firefighters killed last night, including 18 members of an elite hotshot crew based in Prescott, Arizona. We're talking with Kyle Dickman, who was on a hotshot team in Tahoe, now an associate editor for Outside Magazine. Kyle, we know this has been tough for you. Are you okay to talk more?
Yeah, mostly it's the families, I think. We should, yeah. But yeah, absolutely.
Well, tell us more about that, because, you know, we heard a woman finding out on the television her husband was one of those killed. And right. You write about, you know, there's divorces within this community, even when firefighters marry each other. It's a tough life.
Yeah, it is. It is a hard life. I mean, the hotshots spend a lot of time on the road. I mean, they spend 6 to 8 months of their year traveling between fires, and I think that can be both. There's a lot of marriages in fire that don't succeed because of it. I hate to think of the families who, you know, it's. I think the Forest Service and all of these agencies do a really, really excellent job of mitigating the risks, and there are a lot of them. And it's sort of amazing that we don't see more fatalities on the fire line than we do. And so when it does happen, it is just such a shock to the community. And you know, to speak to how tight that community is. Last night, after I got the news, I went online and I started reading about it. And the first thing I saw was a Facebook page that had been created. And this was hours after the news broke. And there was 56,000 people who'd got online and, you know, showed their support for the people, you know, for the firefighters who died. It's a really strong community of people.
Yeah. Well, Kyle Dickman of Outside Magazine, you were once one of them with the Tahoe Hotshots. Thanks for giving us a little sense of what the life of these 19 who've died was like. Thank you.
Thank you.